Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the bridegroom. Christians are waiting for Christ's return, which the book of Revelation describes as the wedding of the Lamb. Christ will come to usher his bride, his church, into eternity with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
One thing is clear, Jimmy is sexist. This is Wretched Radio. You were quick on the draw with Greg Gifford's Transform podcast on anxiety. Where were you with Libby Glossin's podcast on the issue of suffering? The woman who asked, hey, I want to get married, but I can't find a spouse. Why doesn't God give me the desire of my heart? And that person is struggling. Libby Glossin's podcast, The Better Way. It is this week's presentation. She's jamming. I'm telling you, that woman is crushing it. And if you're a woman, and that means more than nail polish, mascara, and putting on a skirt, if you're an actual woman, you will benefit from Libby Glossin's The Better Way podcast. You can find it at fortisplus.org, or you can find it wherever you do your stream and business. I encourage you. And you know what? She's only been doing it now for a month and a half, something like that.
Oh, no. Since October.
No, she hasn't.
No, no, since February. That's when we kicked off everything. I'm sorry. My mistake.
Okay, let's talk about that CBD again. Are you sure?
More, I need some more lines, man.
Okay, so it hasn't. it hasn't been that long. You could catch up very quickly, yeah. And you will hear intelligent talk for women. Wouldn't that be refreshing? All right, let me just look at the thing here. This is John Krotz's podcast, "The Truth About Salvation and Why It's Something You Can't Ignore." So his desire is to teach theology to help you love the Lord more. This is Adam Tyson to young men, an encouragement to be under authority. That's the stuff that they need to hear. Brad Bigney, how gratitude can transform your marriage and you, one thought at a time.
And that one is good. They're going through it.
Somebody needed it, didn't he?
Well, it's Brad and his wife. Yeah. They're going through a 7-8-part series on gratitude.
He's gonna actually be in studio. I can't remember the date, but I'm getting ready now by doing more napping than usual because he's going to exhaust me. Brad Bigney is like the Energizer pastor, that guy. I'm just getting ready because he is a storm. He's so enthusiastic. And this is what I really, really dig about Brad. Most people think, okay, gospel treason, great book, biblical counselor, marriage, all of that stuff. Oh, he's a shepherd at heart. He wants his people to love Jesus more. And I think that that should be the goal. Honestly, every shepherd should have that heart's desire to prepare people to meet their maker. Pastor, that thought will change the way you preach. It's going to change the way that you preach. Because if you happen to be the type that loves the details, the parsing of the words, you love the historical studies, you've got your biblical dictionaries, just their bindings are broken, you just love sharing all that stuff. Okay, that's fine. But does it help people love Jesus more? And when you make that your heart's desire, your sermons are going to change. Your counseling will change. Your advice will change. Your parenting will change. Everything changes. Just food for thought, with all due respect, Pastor. The podcasts that were aforementioned can be found at fortisplus.org. They're all awesome, and they're just ripping it up in the ratings for podcasts around the globe. All of them are top 5%.
Top 5%, yes.
Yeah, just amazing. You can find them at fortisplus.org, plus a veritable plethora of presentations on a daily basis, all for free. 877-282-2337.
All right, speaking of pastors, this is from Tom. Todd, how important is it that a pastor, or anyone in a teaching capacity, wear a suit in the pulpit?
You're just trying to get me riled up, aren't you? Oh, I read an article about a week or two ago, and honestly, it was kind of chafy, chaff. They're just not much there. But it did rightly identify that clothing speaks. So the question I think the pastor should ask and answer is, what do you want to say? What do you want to communicate to your people? Because you are speaking with your clothes. And you say, but I don't think about it. I just put on whatever's clean. I smell the armpits, and if it's good, then I go to church. But you're communicating. You're saying something. If you go to church as a pastor and you're wrinkly, what does that say to the people? Oh, this isn't very important to him. It's like he just rolled out of bed. That used to matter once upon a time. It doesn't seem to so much these days. The point is, you communicate with your clothing. And I think the category distinction that this particular article made was that if you dress in less than a suit and tie, you're probably focusing on, I want to be relational and approachable. Okay. So let's just, for the sake of this conversation, agree that's what casual clothing communicates. You're approachable, you're accessible, and you're not trying to be a religious guru. Okay. On the other hand, you wear a suit and tie. What does that communicate? This is important. This is something that's different than the run-of-the-day mill sort of activity. This is a sign, furthermore, of respect for you. Furthermore, it is clearly designed to be an act of worship, stating to God, I wanted to put on my best finery for you. Now, let's assume those categories are accurate. And I'm inclined to say, yeah, I think they are. Pastor, which do you want to communicate? What do you want to say to your people? Do you want to say accessibility, or do you want to say, I respect you? Do you want to say, we're here to do something different? Do I think that I can make a law? Oh, believe me, if I could, I would. You'd be wearing a suit and tie and singing to a pipe organ out of a hymnal four parts. But I can't do that. But I would encourage it. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Mary. And Todd White is coming to our community here in the future, the near future.
Is he still in business?
I think so.
Hey, gavilta fish.
There's so many people out there with uneven legs.
they got to get out in the streets more. Oh, wait, Todd White. Okay. Yeah. Todd, well, same thing. He's still in business. Right. I was thinking Todd Bentley.
Oh, no. This is Todd White.
Yeah, Todd White's big trick is the leg lengthening business. Todd Bentley kicks people in the guts with his legs.
That's right.
Okay. Sorry, I got my false teachers confused.
This Marion says, I hold Todd White as a heretic. However, is it possible that people can be saved with a sloppy, lopsided presentation of the gospel?
Sure. Yeah, God uses a donkey to talk. He can use a false teacher, but that doesn't give him a pass. And it shouldn't cause us to not be as critical as I think the Bible calls for, which is to mark them and avoid them. And Todd White probably even does a decent job of presenting the gospel. Probably he's got those basics down, maybe. It's just the rest of the packaging that is so problematic, and the healing business. And, you know, he teaches the tithing business too, and God will bless you and all of that stuff.
And he doesn't wear a suit in the pulpit.
Ba-boom, ba-bing. You want to be like Todd White? Fine. Don't wear a suit. Up to you, Pastor. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is another question from Peter in Minnesota. Todd, is it biblical to say Jesus took our shame?
Now, wait a second. So Peter asked about the beep talk?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I kind of lost it with Peter from Minnesota again.
But is it biblical that...
Did you sneak some CBD?
No, I did not.
In my throat coat?
In your throat coat? No. But he wants to know if it's biblical to say that Jesus took our shame.
Yes. Yes, he did. He took that when he was stripped naked. The connection between the crucifixion and his torturing in the garden, it's in my estimation undeniable. What was one of the scenes in the garden at the fall? They were naked and they were unashamed. They were not embarrassed by it. Sin entered, and so did shame come with it. And Jesus took that shame, bore that for us. How's about the introduction of thorns that we see in the garden? If I recall correctly, Jesus wore a crown of thorns. the sweat of the brow. Jesus sweated drops of blood. Yep, Jesus took our shame. He took our guilt. He took our punishment. He paid it all. And that's why to him we owe. Jesus was willing to endure that on our behalf. The crucifixion was beyond grotesque. It was beyond our imagination of how violent and wicked and horrible and shameful that was. What they did to our Savior, and he did that so that we could be forgiven, so that we do not have to feel shame anymore. I sure hope the church you go to on Easter Sunday is going to celebrate his resurrection. And I hope that your church might consider, I'm not kidding, Good Friday, when you spend some time considering what our Savior did for us, including taking our shame. And Pastor, if you're going to do a Good Friday service, all I can say is, make sure you wear a suit. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Crotts helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you are not Peter from Minnesota, feel free to send stuff to idwretched.org or 877-282-2337. This is Wretched Radio. Peter, grateful for you. Please consider sending things the way Peter does. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Mike. Todd, I went to Scotland for my 10th anniversary, so I have a soft spot for the bagpipes. Mm. However, the ESV lists the bagpipes as the instruments that call the pagans to worship Nebuchadnezzar's image. So, therefore, bagpipes are pagan worship instruments.
And I've been biblical all along. The ESV bagpipes.
Yeah.
Does it really?
That's what he says. I haven't checked it.
No, it does. Don't look it up. It does. Just trust him on this. 877-282-2337.
Here's another comment. This is from Jennifer. Todd, the other day you were talking about Idaho. I live in Idaho, and I wanted to let you know that Idaho recently made firing squad as its primary choice for administering the death penalty.
Wow.
This after one failed execution and then being unable to obtain the drugs. They also made the punishment for sex offenders who offend against kids 12 and under eligible for the death penalty.
Good. Yeah. Good. And it's not that I'm gleeful about people getting executed, whether by firing squad or injection. It's that we care for the kids. We care for the victims. We care for those who have been harmed. And if we love those people and justice and God, we need to be asking questions about the punishment. Now, the word punishment went flying out the window decades ago. We have correctional institutions, not penal facilities. Penal is punishment. We changed that because we thought that was too mean. We send people there to rehabilitate them. And look, I'm thrilled to pieces when somebody gets rehabilitated. I'm thrilled when people get saved. In fact, Jimmy, yes, we need to play more of those testimonies from Heart Cry Ministries.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are great people getting saved, and like really bad criminals getting saved, because God can save really bad criminals. Having said that, when somebody does something that so mars an image maker, the Bible gives us permission to say, government, thumbs up for the death penalty. Yep. We can have some debates about what qualifies and what doesn't, but I can tell you the Bible expands it well beyond murder. There are many permissions given in the Bible. For back then it was stoning, which was the death penalty. And I think the government has been given the authority to bear the sword. And if we have a high view of man, I think Christians should be talking more and more about the potential of the death penalty being applied far more than it currently is. The means of execution, I'm less interested in that. I think there's some biblical wisdom in stoning, by the way, because you don't know who casted the rock that ultimately ended the person's life. Furthermore, it's a community thing. That's why a firing squad kind of represents that, as opposed to an individual giving an injection of chemicals. So that to me, far more debatable. But let's have the conversation about image bearers being marred and what the punishment should be. Good on Idaho. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Rick. Todd, my wife and I are really frustrated. We're looking for a church in our area, but why is it that every one of them we visit seems to have what they call a welcome time? Where they take a break in the service and go around shaking hands.
Yeah.
When did this trend start?
Yeah, I don't know. It ain't my favorite. Now, look, if you were going to try to make support for it, okay, Jimmy, I'm going to give this a run. I personally don't think that is a regulated element in the service. Having said that, in Acts 2:42, we do see that fellowship is indeed something that feeds us. It's a means of growth. Now, everybody turn to the person next to you. Is that fellow? I don't think it is. I don't think it qualifies. So I don't think that I would use that verse to inject that element into the service. And as I don't see it regulated as something that should be done, I don't even think we see that modeled anywhere historically. Just a description, well, let alone a prescription for shake your hand time. So I would say that that's just an element that doesn't belong in the worship service. I get what they're trying to accomplish. We can do that out in the narthex. We can do that in the lobby. You can do it over coffee, but that's not what the worship service is for. God gets to regulate his own service. That's why at Alpharetta Bible Church, we do things differently. And it challenges you, because typically churches, evangelical churches, far more chatty, far more casual in their different elements, willing to, you know, hey, everybody, sorry that we ran out of donuts this morning. Open your Bible, please. It's like, we just don't do any of that. Why? Because each of these elements is prescribed by God. Do this. And that means personality, incidentals, they all go flying right out the window. So when we start our service, it's follow me. Here's the call to worship. Bang. And we just go. And then the singing takes place, praying, no explanation. We read our Old Testament. We read our New Testament. We have a confession of sins. And we have the sermon. And the sermon, it's not a chit-chat fest. It's not intended to be kind of a, hey, everybody, let's talk about stuff and the Bible too. Please open your Bible. Let's dive in without any sort of informality. Why? Because it's worship of the living God. What does the football game this afternoon have to do with the worship of the living God? And the answer is absolutely nothing in a worship service. That is why I'm a big fan of making sure that each one of the elements is regulated and it is presented in a way that doesn't bring us into the formula. The greet time, I just don't think that God has said, that's what I want you to do when you're gathered in formal worship. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is...
Besides, I'm a germaphobe and you get a lot of fellowship on your hands. And that means a lot of germ killer and a lot of dry hands. So no to the shaking hands in the Sunday service. Speaking of OCD, I got a question for Gifford. I want his help on something. There was a football player. Hold on. I might have it here in my stack. There was a football player that I was reading about for Baltimore, maybe something like that. And he couldn't play the first 5 games of the season because he had what was defined as, oh, here it is right here. Yep. Got it right here. Hold on. Let me get my glasses on. Colts Braden Smith details struggle and recovery from severe OCD. So he missed the first 5 games, was suicidal, and he went to some clinic, didn't really help him very much. So he got a drug in Mexico, which he claims is helping him. It's called Ibogaine, not legal in the United States. And he says he's doing better now. What was his OCD? Smith, 29, said he was diagnosed with a condition known as religious scrupulosity. According to the OCD Foundation, religious scrupulosity differs from the healthy practice of religion because it's driven by anxiety over engaging in actions that might offend God or be seen as blasphemous. This creates obsessive behavior, including constant prayer or repeated repentance, that can begin to dominate a person's daily life. And I have seen this a lot. This is not uncommon. Now, do I believe that you need an illegal drug from Mexico to deal with it? No, I don't. I think the Bible has the power to help you overcome what I prefer the word scrupulosity because it's not a clinical term. That's a historic term for people who would obsessively focus on something, repeat a behavior over and over again. I'm okay with that word, and I've seen it. And I want Greg Gifford's help on it. So let's see if Greg Gifford is listening. Greg, send me a text if you're willing to tackle religious scrupulosity on Transform Podcast, available at fortisplus.org. Waiting?
Are we going to wait?
And waiting.
While we're waiting,
yeah.
Here's a question from Connor. Todd, what do you think about a pastor and his wife during Wednesday night church service doing a series on marriage or parenting?
Okay, that you said church service, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
No one thinks of her in a pastoral role or attempting to call her pastor.
Yeah.
Would you think
the question is, Is it acting the role? Is it doing what the pastor does? Now, if you said it's a Wednesday night informal gathering, you get together, not a problem at all. Of course, that's perfectly, I think that's fine to do things like that. But to call it a church service and then to have a woman teaching would be in violation of 1 Timothy 2:12. And people, because of the subject matter, maybe it's more casual. Look, if it's that casual, then call it something else and just say, hey, we're not doing a church service. We wanted to spend some time talking about marriage. In order to do that, so that men can understand women and women can understand men, my wife is going to come up and we're going to talk through these things. Fine. But I think when you formalize it and say, all right, everybody, it's time for worship to start, then I would say that something like that, as beneficial as it might be, would be crossing the line. Disagree? 877-282-2337. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.